Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, God. At this time, God, as I deliver your word, God, I pray, Father God, that you'll hide me, God, behind your cross. And Lord, would you allow me, Father God, to clearly, God, deliver your truth. God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ. God, as your children, God, would you help us, Father God, to be followers of Jesus Christ. God, we want to surrender this time up to you. May you and may you alone, God, be glorified. Thank you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just want to thank everyone here for giving me the opportunity to speak here at Lighthouse Bible Church. To be honest with you, my wife and I, we woke up super early today to get here on time. We drove 1.8 miles. We're very close. We're very nearby. We live right behind Kaiser. And right after church, we have to speed up because our church is 1.5 miles from here, right behind Costco. So our worship starts at 11:30, so it'll take like 5 minutes to get there. I first met Pastor John about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago. And as Pastor Andy mentioned, we both serve at UCLA CCM. And as I spent my time with him many times through worship, just interacting with him, and a lot of times through meals together, eating good burgers, I was able to connect with them. And here are some of the things that I realized about Pastor John. Number one, I could totally see that he really loves God. Every time he preaches or every time he talks about God or every time he talks about his Bible collections, I could see that his eyes get even bigger. Number two, I could totally tell that he loves his family very much. Here's how I know. I heard him even within the 2 year span that we met. I heard him talk about his wife and how he met his wife at UCLA at least 5-6 times already. Number three, he really loves this church. I see him praying for you guys throughout the week. I hear his stories that he shares about the church, and I know that he cares and loves you guys very much. And I can see that he's so passionate about missions and church planting as well. Number four, he's a diehard UCLA fan. And I'm aware, I'm sure you guys are all aware, but he loves following anything related to UCLA. He has his UCLA shirt, UCLA jacket, UCLA hat, UCLA umbrella, and he even has a UCLA Bible cover that he, probably, shares. And number five, he's a diehard Dodger fan. When I first met him, he doesn't do this anymore, but when I first met him, I was like, man, this guy only posts about Dodgers on his Facebook. So I was like, wow, as soon as I met him, I was able to connect with him because I love following the Dodgers. I'm a diehard Dodger fan. I began following the Dodgers when I was in second grade back in the, right after they won their last World Series back in the 80s. And ever since, I've been following the Dodgers. I love them. I love their players. One of my all-time favorite players are, Orr Scherzer, Mike Piazza, Eric Gagne, and obviously because I'm Korean, Channel Park. And now I love following Kershaw. And my heart was crushed for the past few years because every time we made it to the World Series, but we ended up losing. But I'm praying and I'm hoping that this year will be the year that we'll win. I also love following the Lakers. I'm a diehard Laker fan. And my all-time favorite player of all time is obviously Kobe Bryant. I love Kobe Bryant, and a few days ago, I was so happy to celebrate his birthday yesterday. And if you, right, 2 days ago. And yesterday, if you don't know, it was Kobe Day. Because 8, that's his, old number, and 24, the newer number. So I actually have that on my calendar as well. But again, I love following Kobe. I love following Lakers. And not only that, I love following a lot of different things. I love following LA sports, whether it be UCLA sports or LA Rams. I love following them on Instagram. I love following fashion, maybe even celebrities. I love following politics. And maybe some of you guys here, you guys could relate. There's some things that you guys follow, whether it be sports, whether it be politics, whether it be stock market. If you have children, you might be following, worrying about what schools to send them and so on. And maybe if you're even single in this room, you know a thing or two about following or aka stalking people on Facebook or Instagram. But here's a question that I want to talk about today. As Christians, what does it really mean to be followers of Jesus Christ? As Christians, you know, we say that we are children of God, that we accepted Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. But what does that really look like? What does it really mean to offer ourselves up to God? What does it really mean to be a true follower of Jesus Christ? Can you call yourself a follower just because you attend church every Sunday? Can you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ just because you give to the church? Can you say you're a follower just because you're going to attend your retreat? What does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does that actually look like? Today we're going to be looking at three simple questions to answer this question. Question number one is this. What do I do to follow Jesus Christ? What do I do to follow Jesus Christ? Second question is this. How do I follow Jesus Christ? How do I follow Jesus Christ? And the third question is this. Why should I? Why should I follow Jesus Christ? So again, the first question is, what do I do to follow Jesus Christ? Second question, how do I follow Jesus Christ? And third question, why should I follow Jesus Christ? To answer this question, we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, please share with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be reading from verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the ESV. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. So we're going to be looking at the first question. What do I do to follow Jesus Christ? And to be honest with you, to answer that question is actually very simple. Especially if you grew up at church, this is something you heard over and over again. What do I do to follow Jesus Christ? According to the verse that we just read, according to verse 1, it says this, that in order for us to be followers of Jesus Christ, this is what we do. We must offer our bodies as living sacrifice, that we are to give ourselves in complete dedication before God, that we are to give 100% of what we have to God. Here's something very interesting about the book of Romans. After devoting 11 chapters to heavy-duty theology, Paul now transitions into chapter 12, and from doctrine, he's now talking about duties. He wants to focus more on the conduct and the behavior and the actions of followers of Jesus Christ. So now what Paul is saying in the beginning of chapter 12 is this, in light of what God has done for you, in light of what God has done for us, this is what we are to do. This is how we are to live out our life for Jesus Christ. Paul uses the imperative, the command and the instructions. And what's interesting is that in chapter 12 alone, the commandments, imperatives are given 11 times. Paul uses imperative 11 times alone here in this chapter. In fact, Romans chapter 12 has more imperatives than any other single chapters in the entire New Testament. This chapter is filled with action. Paul wants followers of Jesus Christ to understand that our belief, it should impact our behavior. Apostle Paul tells us that we as Christians, as children of God, that we are to give ourselves completely to God. That we are to surrender ourselves by giving Him everything that we have. Paul is urging followers of Jesus Christ that in view of God's mercy, that we are to offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. But here's something very interesting that we need to think about. If you were a Jewish Christian, hearing this for the first time about 2,000 years ago, they would be shocked. Why? Because what Paul was teaching here is actually very, very different from what they grew up hearing about. Think about this. What was the Old Testament understanding of sacrifice? If you were a Jew growing up and you heard about sacrifice, you studied about sacrifice in the Old Testament, especially during this time, this is what you would think about. You would think, oh, sacrifice, this is what a sacrifice is. an individual had to bring up an offering before God, an animal before God. Why? Because of their sin. They needed to bring this animal to be sacrificed. A life had to be offered for a person's rebellion before God. And this animal, it couldn't just be any animal that you just get from the street, but it had to be an animal without defect. Right? A perfect animal without any blemish, and you had to bring this animal before God. Right? Nowadays, what do we call this kind of animal? We call them our pets. Right? We call them our dogs, or, you know, Coco or Leo, whatever it may be. We bring our best animal before God. So if you think about it, this was the Old Testament understanding of a sacrifice. You had to bring your best animal before God. And you're saying to God, God, I'm a sinner, but instead of me, God, here I'm offering this animal up to you. So what does a priest do? Priests, they kill the animal and the blood is shed. And a punishment is made. Instead of you, something else had to die. This was the Old Testament understanding of a sacrifice. But here, what Paul was saying is completely different. He has a new understanding. He's saying something different about a sacrifice. So what is a New Testament understanding about sacrifice? What Paul tells us is this. We need to offer a living sacrifice and not a dead sacrifice like we did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you make a sacrifice. You make an offering. But now in the New Testament, what Paul is saying is this. Instead of making a sacrifice, instead, you become the sacrifice and you offer up yourself completely to God. To follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it means that we are to give ourselves completely to God. That we are to give ourselves to God. Instead of bringing something else, we bring ourselves to God by saying, God, I am the sacrifice. I want to give myself to you. And for us living here in 2019, this is something very, you know, kind of like it's not easy to understand. I'm sure none of us here has seen like animal sacrifice, unless you go on YouTube and you search like weird things. But usually, you know, the idea of animal sacrifice or idea of sacrificing is foreign to us. Even for me, it was actually very foreign. We don't live in a farm, so we don't actually get to see people, you know, killing animals. That's kind of like weird to us. But I remember a few years back, about 7 years ago, I was at a church's children's retreat. And every year for a church's retreat, we go to a place called Victory Ranch. And as you can tell from the name, it's actually a ranch. And this ranch has so many different animals there. They have peacocks, goats, horses, cows, chickens, sheep, you name it, they have it. And I remember a few years ago, about 7 years ago, I was at this retreat to volunteer and help out our children's ministry. And I remember hearing something very interesting. On the second day of a retreat, it was during over lunch, I'm eating my meal, and I was not trying to eavesdrop or anything, but the retreat staff, they're sitting right behind me. And as I'm eating my meal, I heard them say something very interesting, and out of nowhere, I was like, ooh, this is very interesting. As I'm eating, I heard one of them talk to the other guy by saying something like this, tomorrow we're going to kill a cow. And I was like, you know, I'm a typical guy. I'm just eating. The guy said, tomorrow we're going to kill a cow. And I was like, ooh. And I kind of leaned back. And I know it's kind of rude, but you know how guys are, right? So I kind of like leaned over and I was like, not trying to eavesdrop, but I was. But pretty much the conversation that they had, it went something like this. Tomorrow we're going to slaughter a cow. And I was like, this is amazing. We're at a ranch. There's so many cows out there, and they're actually going to slaughter a cow here at the ranch. So I kind of like turned around and, you know, like politely as I can, I told them, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to eavesdrop or anything, but I did. And I heard you mention something about slaughtering a cow, killing a cow. Is that true? Did I like hear you guys, right? And the guy goes, yeah, you know, we're at a ranch, so it happens all the time. Tomorrow, the guy's going to come and they're going to slaughter the cow. And because we're a ranch, we usually sell off our animals to nearby markets and restaurants. So I was like, wow, that's amazing. Is it okay if I go and watch? And it's like, oh, yeah, come. And I asked him, what time can I go and, you know, what do I do? He said, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., just go outside and you'll see the guy pulling in and he'll, you know, slaughter the cow. And I was like, thank you so much. But I had a dilemma. Again, I was at a children's retreat volunteering. I wasn't the preacher, but I was there to pray for the students. And 10 o'clock was in the middle of a morning worship service. So I had to think, I was like, oh, what do I do? I really want to go. And I was praying. I was like, God, I really want to go, but what do I do? Do I miss worship or do I go watch people slaughter a cow? And I was kind of greedy and I said, God, I really want to go. And I said this, God, you know what? I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to join worship, but I know one day I'm going to use this story for your glory. So here it is. So next morning around 9 o'clock, you know, I was getting ready. And because I knew the guy was going to come around 10 o'clock, I didn't want to go late. You know, I was super excited. I went there at least 30 minutes early, around 9:30. And because I didn't want to be the only one, you know, watching this amazing opportunity, I actually told some of the EM members that were volunteering at the time and some of the college guys, and I told them, hey, I know you guys are here as leaders, but don't tell anyone. Right? Don't tell your students. Just come with me. And they're like, why? What's going on, Pastor Jacob? And I told them, we're going to see something very amazing. And you'll never forget for the rest of your life. And whenever you read the Bible, you'll have a better understanding of what sacrifice is. It's like, oh, thank you, Pastor Jacob. And I brought two other guys, and we got out there, and around 9:30, we're just waiting and waiting, waiting. And around 10 o'clock, this truck pulls in, right? And there's a fence right here, and we're sitting here, and the truck is maybe 20 feet away. Guy comes out of his car and he sees that we're watching. And I think because he was a younger guy in his 20s, he kind of wanted to show off. So as soon as he walked out of the car, you know, I thought he was going to be like, hey guys, are you guys here to watch? You know, it's going to be very loud, bloody, so careful. None of that, right? He sees us. He just walks. He goes up to the biggest cow in the farm. Humongous. And I'm not even exaggerating. I have this actually on my YouTube channel. The guy, he pulls out his gun, right, or rifle, and I thought he was going to go up to the rifle and be like, guys, cover your ears, you know, like, cover your eyes, it's going to be bloody, loud, and then boom. But instead, because he knew that we're watching, he kind of wanted to show off, so he grabbed the rifle, not this way, but this way, and he actually put the rifle right on the forehead of the humongous cow, and boom, and with that sound, the cow just dropped, and I kid you not, it was like the craziest thing that I ever seen. The cow dropped, and at that moment, somehow, it felt like all the animals in the farm, in the ranch, they knew. At the sound of the cow dropping, the other cows, the goats, like the horses, they started making like this crazy noise, and we're like, oh, this is insane. But at the same time, because we're guys, we're like, this is amazing. And next day, when the retreat ended, when we came back to LA, we said we had to celebrate this occasion. So guess what we did? We went to all-you-can-eat Koreatown, you know, barbecue, K-barbecue. But if you think about it, right, animal sacrifice, right, it's not pretty. It's bloody. A life is involved. And if you think about it, this is what Jesus Christ, he actually did for us. When he died on the cross for our sins, he didn't just, you know, without pain, but he suffered on our behalf and he shed blood on our behalf. This is what Paul is talking about. Paul is saying to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that we are to offer up everything that we have to Jesus Christ. We are to follow Jesus Christ by giving everything that we have to him. We are to submit to God. We are to surrender to God. We are to allow Christ to reign over our life. We have to give 100% of our life in complete dedication. But if you think about it, this is so easily said, right? We get it. We grew up at church, and this is something you hear even as a little kid. And this is something we sing about every single week. I surrender all. I give my life to you, God. You're my king. You're my God. But are we really surrendering everything that we have to God? How does it look like for us to really surrender ourselves, to give ourselves completely to God? Again, it's harder said, it's easier said than done. For those of you that are single, I want you to just like imagine with me, especially if you're sisters, I want you to pretend with me for a second. Imagine that today after church, like around 12 o'clock, you guys go walk over to Americana. And as you're walking, you see this really good looking guy, 6 foot tall, you know, like amazing shoulders, beautiful hair, right? And he drives a convertible, you know, all that. A guy of your dream, you see him walking by, and for some reason, he comes up to you and he goes, "Can I get your number?" Right? I see some of the girls like, "Oh, I only wish," right? They come up to you, "Can I get your number?" And let's say you guys started dating. But wouldn't it be so silly if this guy came up to you and said this, "You know what? We could date, but in order for us to maintain a relationship, this is what we have to do. You know what? On Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm so busy. I got to go make the money, so I can't talk to you. You know what? On Wednesdays and Thursdays, you know what? I got to go maintain my six-pack. I got to go work out, so I can't talk to you. On Fridays, I got to go hang out with my boys, so you know what? You can't talk, but I'll be nice. I'll let you text me for, you know, like 10 minutes on Fridays only. Saturdays, I'm tired. Let me sleep in. But on Sundays, maybe we could go to church together and sit together, but only for 2 hours. Afterwards, you can't tell anyone about a relationship." What person in their right mind will be like, "I'll still date you"? Hopefully no one. But guys are dumb. If it was the other way around, guys would be like, "Okay, maybe." But if you think about it, this is exactly what we do to God. This is exactly what we do to God, including myself. We say, "God, I give you enough time already. You know what, God, I'm so busy for my work. Mondays and Tuesdays, I come home so late. You know, I'm busy working every day. You know what, Wednesdays and Thursdays, it's so hard. I have kids. They're so wild. You know, there's a baby coming on the way. Man, I don't even get to spend time with my wife, my husband. God, but on Sundays, I'll be good. I'll be a good Christian. I'll come to church for 2 hours. Therefore, I'm giving everything that I have to you." What does it really mean for us to give ourselves to God? It means that we completely surrender ourselves before God, that we give 100% to Him. So number one, what do I do to follow Jesus Christ? Again, the answer is simple. We are to surrender ourselves completely to God. We are to give 100%. Not 80%, not 90%, but everything that we have, we give to God as a living sacrifice. Number two then, how do I follow Jesus Christ? How do I follow Jesus Christ? The answer, again, it might be simple. The answer is this. We follow Christ by becoming obedient to the Holy Spirit, by renewing our mind. How? By filling ourselves with the Word of God. By filling ourselves with the Word of God. I'll read verse 2 again. This is what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Romans 12, 2, it tells us that we need to be transformed. And the way that we be transformed is by renewal. And how do we renew? Renewal is talking about the renewal of the mind. Why do we need to renew our mind? We're already Christians. We come out to church. We hear sermons. You know, we praise God. You know, occasionally, you know, we spend time in prayer. You know, we read the Word throughout the week. If so, why do we need to renew our mind? I think the reason why we need to renew our mind is because many times, whether you know it or not, I think so many times in our life, we are filling our mind with the things of the world. We're filling our head with junks from the things of the world. So what Paul is telling us is this. Instead of filling our head with the things of the world, and most of them are junks, he's saying you need to get those things out. And the best way we get those things out is through renewal of our mind. We need something to be renewed because something that is going on into our head, right, is not right. So think about it. Why do we need to renew our mind? What kind of lies are going into our mind every day? What kind of deception, what kind of junk, what kind of things of the world is going into our head every day without us even knowing? Without us even knowing every day, many times we're filling our heads with, you know, music, with movies, with TV, video games, gossips, the pressure of the world, things from work, in life. So what are the things that are coming into your mind every day and we don't even realize and we just accept it as it is? This is what the world is telling us every single moment of our day, even as we're driving, even as we're listening to advertisement, looking at billboards. Here are some of the things that you need to become pretty because you're ugly, that you need to become number one, that if you're a college student, the only way is that you get A's, straight A's, that you need to please your parents, that you need to graduate on time, that if you have a family, that you need to make lots of money, that you need a family, that you need children, that you need a boyfriend, that you need a girlfriend, that you need to graduate from the best school, that you need a master's degree, that you need to retire by the time that you're 60. So think about it. Without us even knowing every day as we're watching movie or as we're spending time in social media, if these are the things that are coming into our mind every single day, now think about this. When it's time for us to make an important decision in life regarding your family, regarding your children, regarding your marriage, what do you think the outcome would be? If every day without us even knowing, these are the lies that are coming into our mind, and it's time for us to make an important godly decision in our life, what do you think the outcome will be? Most likely, our outcome, the decision that we will make, will be same as that of a non-Christian. Why? Because we're listening, we're watching, we're hearing the same thing over and over again, as if as non-Christians. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, must become obedient to the Holy Spirit by renewing our mind with the Word of God. This is what Paul is saying as Christians. He says, do not conform to this world. Do not follow this world. Do not be changed by this world, but instead be transformed, be changed by renewal of your mind. By renewal of your mind. How do we renew our mind? Easiest way is to spend time with God. We must read the Word of God. We must listen to the Word of God. We must study the Word of God. We must recite the Word of God. We must meditate on the Word of God. We need to sing praise songs that will allow our mind and our heart to reflect the Word of God and the characteristics of God. We need to remember, don't be fooled by the lies of the world. The world will tell you that success is only if you make certain amount of money. That success is only if you live in a comfortable dream house. But when we renew our mind with the Word of God, then we will realize that there's so much more to this world than what money has to offer. We need to remember that we are children of God, that our identity, it belongs to Christ. It's not found in this world. It's not in the college that you graduated or the job that you're working at or who you're married to or how much money you're making right now or who your children are. But instead, we must remember that our identity is that we are children of God. That Jesus Christ, that He loved us so much, right? He came and He died for us. God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for us. Many, many years ago when I was younger, I remember my parents, they brought a puppy home. And this puppy wasn't a special breed or anything, but they literally picked up a stray dog off the street and they brought it home. But it was so cute. And we said this, you know what? We're gonna wash him up. We're gonna take him to the vet. And because we love this puppy so much, you know what? We're gonna adopt him into our family. So we gave him a name, Coco. And because we love Coco so much, and if you're Asian, you kind of understand, you know, dogs, they don't usually live inside the house. You know, we allow dogs to go, you know, in the backyard, right? But because we love Coco so much, we said this, Coco, we're going to adopt you into our family. We're going to give you the name Coco. And not only that, we're going to give you our last name, Cho. So we say, Coco, Cho, right? We say, you're part of our family. You say, you could do whatever you want. You want to run around in the room? Go ahead. You want to eat some good food? We'll give you the best food ever. Right? We'll wash you, we'll do whatever, right? But we had one problem. Even though we adopted Coco into the Cho family, Coco didn't realize that he was adopted into our family. Why? Because he was still living and acting as if he did, you know, as a stray dog. He was peeing everywhere. He was pooing everywhere. He didn't know his true identity, his new identity. This is what we need to remember. Don't forget. Don't be fooled by the lies of the world. We need to, again, remember that we are children of God. We need to renew our mind every single day. We need to take out the junk, and instead of listening and believing unto the world, lies that the world is telling us, we need to replace those lies with the Word of God. We need to remember that we are children of God. And to be followers of Jesus Christ, it means that we follow Him, that we give everything that we have. You know, I heard this illustration before, but it's kind of like this. When you're young, and you know, you're in the room and you're playing video games and your parents walk into your room, right? And they will, hey, clean up your room, or I want you to study, right? How silly would it be if you tell your mom, okay, I'll memorize that, right? And you close the door and you don't clean up, you continue to play video games, but you memorize what your mom tells you. Study, 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 clean up the room, clean up, clean up. And later on, when your mom walks into the room, goes, what? How come you didn't clean up your room? You goes, Mom, you know what? I remember, I studied it, right? Memorize, clean up your room, clean up your room, study, study, study. And not only that, you memorize in Spanish, in Chinese, and in Korean. You like, impress her. But if you don't do it, it doesn't mean anything. So many times, us as Christians, right? We know it in our head. We know it in our head, right? Love our neighbors. Follow Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus Christ. But when it's actually time for us to prove it, right? We know it in our head. But so many times we don't actually live it out. So as Christians, we need to remember that we need to renew our mind by spending time with God. It's so easy for us to be fooled by the lies of the world, especially because Satan is so good at counterfeiting, right? Sometimes it's so hard for us to even tell what is true, right? That's why we must always go back to the Word of God and study what is true. People that work at the bank, this is what I hear. When they try to study, like, you know, counterfeit money, instead of studying 100 fake monies out there, right? This is how they study. Instead of looking at fake monies and studying what is fake, you know, how the number is off, instead, they only spend time studying the real money. So they'll look at a $100 bill and they'll be like, oh, the numbers are on the corner. You know, Franklin's in the middle. When you reflect on the sun, you can see a picture. This is a color, you know, this is a texture. So that when they see a fake one, they catch it right away. How? By studying what is true. Therefore, us as Christians, we need to do the same thing. We need to spend time in the Word of God. And by spending time in the Word of God, we'll be able to see what is true and not. Our culture and even our law, even our textbooks, right? It doesn't define what is true. What defines truth is God. It's found in the Word of God. Truth is whatever God says it is true. Don't let the lies of the world fool you. We are children of God. Therefore, we are to follow Jesus Christ by renewing our mind and filling our mind with the Word of God. Again, number one, what do I do to follow Jesus Christ? I follow Jesus Christ by giving everything that I have, by 100% giving myself to God. Number two, how do I follow Christ? I follow Christ by renewing my mind with the Word of God, by replacing the false with the truth of God, by filling the Word of God, by filling our hearts with the Word of God. Now, finally, number three, why should I follow Jesus Christ? Why? And the answer to that, if you think about it, it might be actually very simple as well. When we follow Christ by surrendering ourselves to God, to the Holy Spirit, we will see change. Again, this is what we read in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. But be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Why should we surrender ourselves to God? It is because when we do, when we live according to the will of God, when we give 100% to God, when we fill our mind with the Word of God and replacing the false things that we were holding on to, The Word of God tells us that we will see transformation. But here's the thing. Many times we have this wrong understanding about transformation. We think that transformation could happen overnight. But as you know, change, it doesn't happen overnight. Change, it takes time. Transformation, it takes time. Just like how your grade is not going to improve overnight. Just like your work, you know, your salary is not going to jump up to like six figure overnight, right? Change, it takes time. Nothing happens overnight. Even for me, for years and years and years, for many, many years, I've been trying to lose weight, right? And it's still an ongoing process. It doesn't happen overnight. This is what we need to realize. As Christians, we need to realize that transformation, right, is happening, but it's not a one-time deal. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a continual process. Sanctification is a lifetime process. So even like this, even when we go on dates, go on diets, obviously, right, it's hard for us to show improvement overnight. I'm sure you guys seen a lot of advertisements online, and the pictures are pretty crazy. Usually they have a picture of a before and after. Before picture is this person kind of like out of shape, looking all sad, and then usually says 3 months later, boom, right? Six pack, right? He looks all happy. Or if it's a girl, it's a lady with, you know, like nasty hair, she's all sad, you know, bags under her eyes, and then it says PX90. And then what happens? Bikini picture, boom. Why? Because they put in the effort, but it took time. It did not happen overnight. We need to remember that transformation, it takes time. It's a process. Again, sanctification is a lifetime process. But one thing for sure is that when you follow Jesus Christ, when you give yourself completely to God, and when you renew your mind by filling your mind with the Word of God, we will become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. It will take time, but we will see change. Following Jesus Christ, it begins when we repent before God. We realize that we are a sinner in need of God. And we recognize that you know what? Our sins are forgiven only through Jesus Christ. As Christians, we need to remember this, that as this process is happening, it's not because of what we know or what we do. Right? It has nothing to do with us. But it's only because of God. It's only because of the help. It's because Holy Spirit is in us, right? He's helping us. He's allowing us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So again, as Christians, why should I follow Jesus Christ? It's because when we live our life for Christ, when we give everything that we have, when we renew our mind by filling our mind with the Word of God, God tells us that we will change. We will become more and more and more like Christ. I love watching Disney movie, and I grew up watching all the original Disney movies. And recently, the new Lion King movie came out. But, you know, even though the new one is also amazing, when I was watching it with my wife, I was like, man, it really looks like I'm watching a documentary. But compared to the original one, dude, like, you can't even compare. But if you remember watching the original Lion King, man, I love Lion King. Every time I think about it, you know, like songs coming to my mind. I cry. Anyway, right? Lion King, there's a moment in the middle of the movie, like towards the second half of the movie. There's a funny part, actually very touching part, where Simba, spoiler alert, I hope this movie came out like 20 years ago, so I'm hoping I'm not spoiling the movie for you guys. But Simba's father, Mufasa, he dies in the beginning of the movie. And maybe you guys didn't watch, but it came out 20 years ago, so I don't think I'm like spoiling it for anyone. But there's a sad moment in the movie where Simba, the new Lion King, right, the baby lion, he grows up, and he's so depressed, he loses his confidence, and he's telling himself, man, I ain't no lion. I'm not going to eat meat. I'm going to eat vegetables. I'm going to eat bugs. And I don't want to be a lion anymore. I'm so sad. He's so depressed. And he's walking in the jungle. And as he's walking in the jungle by himself, I forget the character name, but this monkey character, right? He comes out. And he comes out to Simba. And he says, you know what? You can't do this. I'm going to show you your dad. And he's like, what are you talking about? My dad, he passed away many, many years ago. And Monkey starts running, and Simba, he starts chasing him throughout the jungle. And there's a moment, right? He looks into the water, and he goes, and the monkey goes, you know what? You know what? I want you to see your dad. And he says this, he lives in you. He tells Simba, he lives in you. And at that moment, as he's looking inside the water, he sees a reflection of his dad, right? And he looks up to the sky, and he realizes, oh my gosh, I'm having this amazing moment where I'm looking at my dad. And Mufasa comes out in a vision, and this is what Mufasa tells Simba. You have forgotten who you are, so you've forgotten me. You are my son. Right? Think of that one more time. Mufasa tells Simba, you know what? You're so depressed and you forgot your identity. And this is the reason why. You have forgotten who you are, so you've forgotten me. You are my son. Just like in the story of the Lion King, I think our Heavenly Father, he's telling us the same thing. He's saying, maybe you have forgotten who you are. Maybe you have forgotten your true identity. I want you to remember that I am your father, that I am God and you are my child. And because I am your father, you are my child. This is your identity. You are a child of the Most High. Therefore, we need to become followers of Jesus Christ. As children of God, we are to imitate our Father. This is how we follow Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ by giving everything that we have, 100%, in complete dedication to God, in complete joy before Him. Number two, we are to follow Jesus Christ by renewing our mind with the Word of God. Instead of filling our head with the things of the world and worries that come from our work, instead, we are to fill our mind with the Word of God by looking and studying and hearing the Word of God every single moment of our life. And finally, as we do, we will become more and more like Christ. We will see change. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. God, we want to thank you, Lord, for who you are. And God, at this time, God, we confess, and I myself, God, I confess, that even though, God, we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, that there's so many times, God, in our life, in our daily moments, at our work, in our relationships, God, we forget about you. God, we don't completely give ourselves to you. But instead, Father, would you help us, Father God, to completely trust in you, to follow you, by giving you, God, 100% of all that we have, God, our time, our effort, our energy, our finance, everything that we have, God, up to you. And God, would you help us, Father God, to renew our mind by spending time with you every single day of our life. God, would you help us, Father God, to fall in love with your word. God, would you help us, Father God, to abide in you. And Lord, as we do, God, help us to become more and more like your son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, we love you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.